We shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the book of Psalms, Psalm 25, and we will read again at verse 7. Psalm 25 and verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. David writes this psalm as an afflicted man. Perhaps, we don't know for sure, it was when Absalom was pursuing him. David lifts up his soul to God because he is harassed by his enemies, and he prays that his foes would not prevail over him. He knows that no one will be ashamed who trusts in the Lord. And he prays that God would make him to know what it is to be led in his providence, and that God would cause him to experience his faithfulness, that David would be taught by experience that God is true to his word toward his people. So David is waiting upon God. At the same time, he is reminded of his past, and he's troubled. His present circumstances cannot but make him think about his sins. And he knows that his sins are far greater than what he now suffers. If he thinks about his sins, past and present, his sins are more than can be numbered. And so he prays in our text, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. He's full of transgressions. He's in great need of mercy. And it is to God he must go, because God alone forgives sins. And he pleads this fact, that God is good. God is full of loving kindness. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Well, sometimes believers are troubled about their past sins. Even though they have prayed for forgiveness and the Lord has pardoned them, they may still be troubled about them. And what a relief it is to be permitted to pray such a prayer, to bring a fresh petition to the Lord that he would pardon our sin, that he would even give a fresh seal of the forgiveness of our sins, although they are sins of the past. Here is a fitting prayer for all those who are troubled about their past sins and their sins of youth. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Well, the Lord helping us, we will think about three things. And first of all, it's the reason for this particular petition for pardon, and that is the sins of youth. Here's the reason for his petition. In the second place, the petition itself for pardon of the sins of youth. And in the third place, the ground of the petition for pardon, and that is the mercy of God, or his loving kindness, and his goodness' sake. Because God will be glorified in displaying his goodness and mercy in the pardon of sin. And that's the ground of his petition, according to his mercy and for his goodness' sake. So we have the reason and the petition and the ground of it in this text. Well, may the thought about our sins of the past and the reflection of our sins of youth make us appreciate all the more what Christ has done in order to put that sin away. He gave himself to the sufferings of the cross, and it is to him who was crucified that we must look for the remission of sins, and it is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that shows forth that death that put away sin. May the Lord help us look upon him whom we have pierced, and may we mourn over our transgressions because he has said in his word through David that a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. First of all, the reason for his petition, it is the sins of his youth and the transgressions of his youth. The words sins and transgressions both pertain to his youth. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And David is no doubt an older man in this psalm. And he thinks about when he was not old. And he was not always a mature believer. He was once very young. Sometimes it's interesting to look at an older person and then remind ourselves that person wasn't always old. He was just as young as me or just as young as so-and-so. That person was once a little child. That person was once an infant and had to grow up just as much as we all did. Well, so did David. David was once a young man. He was once a little boy. And he has a vivid recollection of what he was and what he was like when he was young. And it was not all rosy. He knew that he was a sinner from his youth, just as Saul told David that Goliath was a man of war from his youth up. So David and all of us were sinners from our youth up. The rich young ruler said he had kept all the commandments from his youth up. But the fact of the matter is, we have broken all the commandments from our youth up. And here is David praying, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. When David got older, he went through a great variety of experiences. And in some of his experiences, his past was brought vividly to mind. And he reflects upon his childhood, and he looks back, and he sees a multitude of sins. And he acknowledges his sins of infancy, as he prays in Psalm 51, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And David surely can't remember when he was a baby. Perhaps many of us had thought about that. Can we remember anything when we were only 6 months old? Not very likely. Much less can he remember when he was conceived. But he knows this much, that he was a sinner as soon as he was conceived. He had a sinful nature, and he is a sinner. Not only then by practice, it's not just what he has done, it's who he is. He is a sinner. He is sinful. Sin describes his very nature. He has a principle of sin in his soul, woven into the fabric of his being. His will is prone to evil. His understanding is biased by sin and darkened by sin. So it is with all of us, and it's a fitting acknowledgement to make. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm a born sinner. I come from the womb speaking lies. This is who I am. I'm a sinner. Well, David would not remember either, perhaps, when he was a toddler, when he first began to eat solid food. And most of us can't remember that either. Some may claim to remember things very, very early on. But David could observe other children and make a logical conclusion that he was just like them. Augustine, in his Confessions, talks about how his nurses would have told him how he was when he was a toddler, and Augustine would observe other little ones and how they behaved, and he knew that he was, when he was very little, that he would be angry and he would swing his limbs about when he could not get his way, and that stubborn streak showed itself early on, and now he is praying, remember not the sins of my youth. Well, he would remember perhaps his disobedience to parents at times, and that may have come up vividly before his mind. And children, you may not think much of your disobedience. You might get very confused why your parents are so unhappy with you because of your bad behavior. But the time may come that you'll look back and you'll realize that you weren't so good after all. You might have justified yourself. You might have been confused. Why are you being disciplined like this? But you'll recollect, you'll remember. When you're older, you'll remember back and you'll see that you were disobedient. You were breaking not just your parents' rules, but you were breaking God's laws continually. And now David is here praying earnestly, remember not the sins of my youth. And perhaps he has mainly in mind the sins that he committed as a young man, in adolescence, as a teenager, as a young man in his early 20s perhaps, the time of youth. Well, David no doubt was converted as a youth, but still he would think about the sins before conversion, maybe even sins after conversion. The time of youth is very often a time of sin. It's when the desires of the whole person, physical and mental, are strong. There's a readiness to take on life and enjoy life. And so much of it is but youthful lust, youthful desire. And Paul warns even Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so this is what characterizes youth. It is the passions and the desires and these often overrule one's judgment. It's when our judgment gets swayed by our passion, and instead of doing what we are convicted about, we do just simply what we are pleased to do. And our convictions are put in the background, if not trampled underfoot, by our desires. It's a time when restraints are removed and we can do as we please without being called into check. And parental restraint is gone, and sometimes even the voice of conscience goes unnoticed and self-love dominates. It's all about me, is what I want to do. Never mind what others think. Never mind what parents think. Never mind what God thinks. I know what I want to do, and I'm intending to do it. Now, that's very often the attitude of young people. Perhaps David, before he was converted, before he knew the Lord, had these desires himself. Was it for no reason the oldest brother of David said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. You came to see the battle. He was an older brother. He might have looked at David when David was younger and have seen how David was a proud little boy, and he got into mischief sometimes, and he had his ambitions. We don't know for sure. It's almost speculation, but it seems very likely. David is saying, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. And it's a prayer that we might all need to make when we think about our sinful past, our pride, our self-love, being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, our impure desires, our justifying our sinful practices and thoughts and feelings and aims, our ambitions, perhaps the sins that we have committed in the past were not egregious. They were not committed openly and with great defiance towards outward authority. Perhaps not. But we still lived for ourselves. We still had our desires, and they were not desires for God and His glory. And when we reflect upon these sins and these desires, then it can bring sighs and groans into our experience at present. When we think about our dullness in spiritual things, when we couldn't recall what was preached to us, when we were not affected by the sermon in the slightest, and when we quickly turned to our hobbies and recreations, and it could be said of us, these are your gods, and if you take these gods away, we would have nothing to live for. There would be nothing to make us happy. It was clearly a life of self-seeking, loving ourselves and loving our things and not loving God, not even loving the Lord's people as the Lord's people. We might have listened to their conversations. We might have thought, that's good for them. I can't really relate to it, but they seem happy of it. I know what makes me happy. And these are the sins of youth, and that we might need to be mourning over at present. David knew about this. He knew about his sins of youth. And now in his later years, these sins are beginning to trouble him. He's going through trying circumstances in this late stage of life. And though he has come to later years, he's gotten older, he can't escape the sins of his youth. Perhaps the events that he's going through are reminding him of particular sins he committed when he was younger. There may have been sins of a more heinous nature that grieved him. We don't know. We certainly know that the sin after conversion was a very heinous sin that he committed with Bathsheba and Uriah. The word transgression perhaps points to more heinous sins. The word transgression means to rebel, to even revolt. It's speaking about a breach in relationships. It's speaking about rebelling against God, and that's what sin is. It's defiance of God. It's shaking the fist at God, saying, who is the Lord? He has given a law. He's my creator, but I don't care. I'm going to go my own way. Who is he that he should command me what to do? Why should I obey his law? That's what sin is saying. Depart from us. Saying to God, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And what profit can we have if we pray to him? So this is what transgression is pointing to, this rebellion against God. And there may have been outward transgressions of rebellion that David thinks about when he thinks about his sins of youth. And this should be a warning to young people today that their rebellion against their parents or against authority, their rebellion against God, may not affect them much now, but it leaves scars upon their soul. It leaves stains upon their conscience that God may, in his providence, awaken to bring back the terror of these memories. And not only that, but the wounds upon the heart may cause much discomfort and even make one more vulnerable to those particular sins in the future. So it's a warning that we would not indulge in sin, that we would not be presumptuous and go on defiant against authority. A while back, I met a man on his, perhaps it was his deathbed. He was in a rest home. He was confined to his bed. And he told me, when I was young, I didn't listen to my parents. I didn't listen to the preacher. I just went on in sin. And I should have listened, because now I know they were right. And he implied that his conscience was tormenting him. I think he even said, it's just too late now. That was a while back. Well, take the warning that if you indulge in sin, those sins may come back vividly and harass you, and those scars will pain you. And God is saying, be sure your sin will find you out. But all sin, even though it's not very outward, it may be unknown to others, all sin is rebellion against God. It is defying God. That's what it is in itself. We may not feel that defiance. We may not be literally clenching our fist, but all sin is transgression of God's law. It is rebellion against him. And there is the sin of unbelief and rejection of Christ that may also, and perhaps ought to, trouble the Lord's people when they think about the years that rolled on without any serious thought of their souls and without truly coming to Christ, and rejecting him all those years, and And all those times when they heard Christ being talked about or preached to them, they saw nothing in Christ that they should desire him. They saw no beauty in him. They weren't attracted to him. They were nothing but stones. They were cold toward God. There was no feeling after God. Isn't that a shameful thing? God created us to glorify and enjoy him. He's calling us to his son, and we couldn't care less about that. What a shameful thing to there be no response upon from our hearts to God when he is calling us with his loving voice, entreating voice, and we fold our arms and say no. We have other things to do and other things that we like. How that should break our hearts now when we think about it. Well, David could not forget his sins, but he's praying to the Lord that he would remember not the sins of his youth. David would not do his best to forget his sins. He even says in Psalm 51, verse 3, "My sin is ever before me." He is not going to forget his sins, though he prays that God would pardon it. David is mindful of his sin. Perhaps other things were reminding him of his sin, just things that he saw, the things that he encountered. As Matthew Henry points out, after David committed a sin that he refers to in Psalm 51, and he says, "My sin is I ever see," he might have seen a writing tablet, and then that would instantly remind him of taking up a writing tablet and ordering the death of Uriah. He would see a banqueting table and remind himself of the feast that he encouraged Uriah to go to and not go back to the battle immediately. And then the rooftop where he walked, that would remind him of his sin. And all of this reminded him of his sin, and his sin is ever before him. And he's confessing his sin to God. So the things that we today might go through might call to our minds our transgressions. We may be correcting our children about a particular wrong that they have done, and then it immediately, instantly reminds us of what we have done, had done when we were children. Our sins of youth can come up before our minds in a variety of ways as we get older. Things we hadn't thought about in years and years. And perhaps when we pray, confessing our sins that we have done at present, we might be reminded that these particular sins that we're confessing at present were actually prevalent with us, prevailing with us when we were younger, in the past, when we indulged these particular sins without restraint. So the result of the sins that we have committed in the past coming before our mind, they intensify the feeling of guilt about our present sins. And therefore, we must pray, "Remember not the sins of my youth." Job was a man who suffered greatly. And even though he was not suffering for any particular sin, but Satan was tempting him and the Lord permitted it, yet Job could not avoid the recollection of particular sins when he was young. Perhaps he even felt that God was dealing with him for those particular sins. And he actually says in Job 13:26, "For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth." He couldn't get away from his sins of youth. They just kept coming back one after another into his mind. Perhaps the hardship we might go through today causes us to think about our sins, and we just can't get away from the thought of our sins. The sins won't leave us, and all we can do is pray, "Lord, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions." Perhaps when we confess our sins and intentionally think about the sins of our youth, and that is not something that we should neglect to do at times, perhaps, to actually remind ourselves of what we were like before we were converted, and particular sins even after conversion that were of a heinous nature, to deepen the humiliation and the conviction of sin that we should have. And these sins, while we think about them, they just accumulate in our mind, and one after another comes before our mind's eye, and it can even overwhelm us. But if it's making us see the evil of sin all the more, and if it's deepening humility in us, and it's making Christ more and more precious to us and sweet to our souls, then the remembrance of the sins of our youth is not doing us any harm. In fact, it's doing us good, making us go to Christ for pardon and bringing us to pray a suitable prayer. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And that leads us to the second point, the petition for the pardon of the sins of youth. Here is David's petition. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. He asked God to remember them not, that God would forget them. God would not remember them, but David doesn't forget them. He's confessing them while he prays for the pardon of them. He does not pray that he would forget them. He doesn't pray, Lord, help me not ever to remember them again. Lord, please, may these sins never come back to my mind to haunt me. He's not taking lessons in psychology, how to get rid of the feelings of guilt on his own, how to forget the sins of the past, not at all. But he is praying, remember not my sins of my youth. I'm not saying that there are never severe cases where a person is traumatized and things of the past come to the mind, and I'm not saying a person never needs professional help how to deal with trauma, but I am speaking about those who don't like to have their sins come to mind, and they don't want to think about their sinful past. They don't want to think about their sins in order to feel good about themselves. They want to think they're good persons. Well, there are no good persons. There's none righteous. And this is a fitting prayer for us. Remember not the sins of my youth. David says, my sin I ever see. David is not trying to feel good about himself. He's going to God and his goodness for pardon. Paul was not one who tried to do his best to put his sins out of his memory. No, he reminded himself that he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but he quickly says, I obtain mercy. I obtain mercy. No, Paul was not doing his best to put his sins out of his memory. In fact, he even reminds others of what they were when they were still in the world. He reminded the Ephesians that they were dead in trespasses and sins, that they walked according to the course of this world, that they were among those who had their conversation in times past in the lusts of their flesh. And they were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. They were gratifying themselves. That's all they were doing, was self-seeking, satisfying their own desires. And so, while David is praying for that God would not remember them, he is not praying that he would not remember them. And this is just what God expects, that we would acknowledge our transgressions. He never tells us, forget about your sin. He says, confess your sin. He says to the Israelites in Jeremiah chapter 3, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. There's no room for a self-justifying spirit in the true religion. It's all about confession, having a broken heart for sin. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Come to the Lord, not just saying, I'm a sinner and I'm going to be sorry, but feel sorry. Be broken. Weep tears of repentance. This is the way to be forgiven, when we are confessing our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the way to be forgiven. If we care to have our sins forgiven, we will have a care to seek it in God's way, and that's not by putting our sins out of our mind, but by confessing them. As someone once told a young man related to some people in this congregation. It's not myself, but someone else. He told this young man who was convicted about his sins, "You're like someone pulling up a plant out of the ground and just looking at all those ugly roots. Put it back in the ground where it goes. Bury it." That's some advice to a man who was convicted about his sins. And that's not advice that you'll find in the Bible. The Bible says, acknowledge thy iniquity. David, godly man, says in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Show me the wickedness of my heart. If there's a wicked way in me, show me that I might turn from it." And that's the only way to turn from sin. That's the only way to grow in sanctification. You're not going to grow in holiness unless you see the sins that you need to turn from, the sins that should be abhorred. That's how the Lord's people grow in holiness, by acknowledging their sins first, and with grief and hatred of them, turning from them all with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. And so we have this encouragement that when the sins of our youth trouble us, we have a ready petition to offer. What a relief it is to be able to pray, "Remember not the sins of my youth." We have this privilege of letting out our sighs and groans before the Lord, and knowing that our tears of repentance are in God's bottle. But of course, someone will object and say, if David was already converted and if believers are already saved, in fact, David was a man after God's own heart for many years, how can he pray for the pardon of his sin if his sin is already forgiven? How does he pray that forgiven sin would be forgiven? Well, we must always begin with the fact that every believer is justified, accepted as righteous in God's sight. All their sins are pardoned and they are accepted as righteous in the sight of God because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. They will never fall from grace. They will never, as Jesus says, come into condemnation. John chapter 5, verse 24. And we must never think that believers are under the judicial wrath of God. They are never under condemnation. They are never under the curse of God. But they may fall under God's fatherly displeasure. They may be under God's fatherly displeasure, and they need that displeasure removed. And that displeasure is removed by confession of sin and pleading forgiveness by the blood of Christ. And so they pray for forgiveness, and real forgiveness is bestowed. They experience real forgiveness, even though they're already justified and they're not condemned. When they are confessing their sins because of their feeling a sense of sin and feeling God's displeasure, God forgives them. He ceases to contend with them. They experience the light of his countenance, and they experience a renewed sense of the pardon of their sin. And who would not wish for this experience? When our sins are coming before our mind, sins of the past, maybe sins of the present, and we're groaning because of the sins of our youth, what a fitting prayer, and what a privilege to be able to pray. And we're not being rebuked for praying. We're not being condemned for praying like this. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions." And this may be a prayer that is suitable for those who have been converted without a great law work. That is, some of the Lord's people, they have been converted after going through years of an accusing conscience and the terrors of the law, and they've felt many years they were under God's wrath, and then they were converted. They were brought to the liberty of the gospel, but not every believer was like that. And some converts were brought to Christ very sweetly, yes, with some convictions of sin. There will always be conviction of sin. There will always be the acknowledgement and a sense of sin in conversion. But still without that awful, terrifying law work that others have experienced. So these believers, when they're converted, they're sweetly drawn to Christ, without the great law work. They're converted. They're thankful for the Lord setting them free from the guilt of their past sins. They're thankful that God is giving them some victory over their sins. And yet when they're converted, they sort of just move on, and they're not deeply impressed with their previous past sins. And they don't have the deep reflection of their transgressions. When they were converted, they were forgiven. They're not the persons they used to be. They're happy in the Lord. But have they really laid to heart their rebellious nature and the great guilt of rejecting Christ all along, which they had done? Are they looking on him they pierced by their rejection of Christ all those years? They haven't laid it to heart fully or very deeply, perhaps. And so there are times when the Lord brings home to us our sins of the past in our youth before conversion, so that perhaps we might have an opportunity of mourning over them more deeply with more spiritual light and maturity, thinking about what Christ actually saved us from, the lowest hell and dark, deep, evil heart of unbelief, and also that we might watch over these sins again with more vigilance, sins that we might still be vulnerable to at present. So we have here for these reasons a suitable prayer. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. When our sins do come up vividly before our minds, sometimes with a force that shakes us again to our foundations, what a privilege and relief it is to pray this without fear that we're doing something wrong, that we shouldn't be praying about sins that have already been forgiven. No, we can pray that the Lord would not remember the sins of our youth, even though they've been forgiven, because we are justified from all things by the blood of Christ. And so David prays, and perhaps he is praying this prayer because of his trying circumstances. And he's praying that God would not chastise him because of his sins. Perhaps that happens. The sin of Israel for their Gibeonites, I haven't looked into the account recently, but Israel was going through affliction, and God was chastising them for a sin that they had done maybe years, if not decades ago. But it had to be dealt with. They had to deal with it. And that may happen in a believer's experience or in the church's experience. And David is here praying that God would not remember his sins, that he would not call to remembrance the sins that David had done in such a way as to punish or chastise him for them. If God would chastise us for every sin that we had done from our youth up, we would be doing nothing but experiencing sorrow and going through much chastisement. But here's a prayer for such. Remember not the sins of my youth. For the ungodly, this is exactly what God does. He calls to remembrance their sins in such a way as to punish them, as we noticed it with Great Babylon not long ago, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 19, that the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Why did God remember Babylon? Here's the reason: to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And so God was dealing with Babylon's sin as a man might do something upon reflection and act upon something when he remembered that something had to be dealt with. David is praying that God would not deal with him in such a way, that God would not remember his sins so as to punish him for them or chastise him for them. Remember not the sins of my youth. These sins are being brought to my mind because of my affliction. Lord, remember not my sins. I'm afflicted. Lord, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Verse 18. Deal with me, O Lord, as if my sins never were brought to thy mind, and deal with me graciously, not according to my sins, but according to thy great mercy. And by the precious blood of Christ, do thou with hyssop sprinkle me, and I shall be cleansed so. Yea, wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow. And this is how the Lord does not remember our sins. This is how the Lord forgets our sins. How? By forgiving them. He forgives them. He blots them out of the reckoning. He removes their sins from the record. The blood of Christ is applied to the conscience and washes away the stain of sin. And this is how sins are forgiven. This is how the pardon is experienced. Pardon through propitiation, the propitiation of the blood of Christ. That is Jesus' blood and righteousness turning away the wrath of God. His blood is turning away the wrath of God. His righteousness procures their acceptance with God. And so, as John Owen puts it, from the heart of the Father, through the heart blood of the Son of God, forgiveness streams into the heart of the sinner who is trusting in the mercy of God in Christ. And God says of such, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. That's the answer to the prayer. Remember not the sins of my youth. God says, I will not remember thy sins. And yes, for his own name's sake, he will forgive. For his own goodness' sake, God forgives sins. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And that's what we consider in the third place, the ground of the petition for the pardon of the sins of youth. Because God is good, because God is merciful. The word mercy is that familiar word, hesed, which is translated kindness and goodness and loving kindness. Because of God's loving kindness, according to the fact that God is loving, that God is merciful, that God is kind, that he would not remember the sins of my youth. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, because God is good, David can expect forgiveness. God's goodness will be magnified in the pardon of sin. When God forgives sin, it will be seen very clearly by all that God is good. This is his nature, that he is ready to pardon. And so for the manifestation of God's attributes, especially of his grace and love and mercy, David expects forgiveness. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. God is glorified by showing his attributes. And so as we read in Psalm 79, for thy name's glory, help us, Lord, who hast our Savior been. Deliver us for thy name's sake, O purge away our sin. And verse 11 in our psalm, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. For thy name's sake, because God's revelation of himself will be accepted, will be known. And this is revealing who God is. The name of God is God himself in revelation. This is who God is, one who pardons sin. He multiplies to pardon. It is revealing his nature when he forgives sin. And so this gives David encouragement to expect that God will forgive sin because God is glorified in forgiving sin. He receives more glory in forgiving sin than when he punishes sin. Yes, when he punishes sin, his justice is glorified. But when he forgives sin, his goodness is glorified. And he receives greater honor and glory when he forgives sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He shows how sovereign, how free he is when he forgives sin. Any judge can punish the guilty. God is just, and you expect this, that God would punish sinners. But the fact that God is good and he forgives sins, it shows his free, sovereign grace when he pardons sin and he is glorified in it. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Instead, he says, remember me according to thy mercy. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. Remember not my sins, but Lord, remember me according to thy goodness. He says in verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. This is who God is from eternity. He is full of loving kindness, full of mercies. And Lord, deal with me and act upon this truth. Act upon the fact that this is thy character. This is who thou art, merciful and gracious, even as God proclaimed to Moses, the name of the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Here is great encouragement to seek the pardon of our sins. This is great encouragement to hope and to expect the forgiveness of sins for everyone who is pleading the mercy of God through Jesus Christ at a throne of grace. Plead this fact, that it is the merciful nature of God to forgive sin, that he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. So while we do not forget our sins, in fact, the Lord doesn't want us to forget our sins either. He says that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame. When I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord, God is pacified. He forgives based upon the propitiation, the turning away the wrath of God. God's justice is satisfied. God is pacified toward every believer. And yet he says that you should not forget what you have done. I'm pacified. You're forgiven. Still you will remember your sin. And though we don't forget our sin and we don't forgive ourselves, and we're not aiming to drive away from our memory the thought of our sins, yet here's the good news. We look to the Lord that he himself would not remember our sins, that he would not remember our sins to condemn us. And so if he will not, and he won't, if he will not condemn us, then we should not be alarmed and terrified when we think about our past sins. If circumstances recall our sins in our mind, then we should just humble ourselves. Acknowledge our sin. Acknowledge thy sin. If we confess our sins, if we forsake our sins, he will have mercy upon us. He will forgive us. The Lord is infinitely good and gracious, ready to forgive. And for everyone who has a broken heart for sin, he's ready to say, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. This is God's word to us. We can go forward, not forgetting that we're sinners, but we can remind ourselves that we are forgiven sinners. And we have God's own word to assure us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. As Paul said in the synagogue to the people at Antioch, men and brethren, he says later on, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which she could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses, the Ten Commandments in themselves cannot justify you, but you're justified in Christ. You're forgiven. You're accepted. And so if God has forgiven us, we should remind ourselves of that forgiveness. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is calling us to look to Christ. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Hearken to the voice of his servant. You're trusting in his servant. You're trusting in Christ, the servant of Jehovah. What does he say? He says, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He will not remember your sins. Therefore, you should remember him and what he has done for you to take away your sins. Remember his death, that he died for the shedding of his blood, for the remission of sins. Who is among you that will hearken to the voice of his servant? The duty is plain and clear. We have a duty set before us, and we're to go in the path of duty, confessing our sins. Who is among you that feels the guilt of their sins? Who is not in need of a prayer like this? Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Who would want the sins of their youth brought out into the open? Or have all the sins of their youth called up before God's remembrance to be punished? Or before the judge of all the earth, declared before the world, and that all these sins are not forgiven? Who would want their sins of the past dragged before the world? What a suitable prayer then for all of us. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. And how this prayer illustrates the way of salvation. It illustrates the way of salvation because when David thinks about his past, he's not saying, I have kept all the commandments from my youth up. No, he's not saying that. He thinks about his past and he thinks about his sins of his youth. And therefore, this illustrates that we are not saved by works of righteousness which we have done. When we think about the past, are we boasting of all our achievements? No, we should be thinking about the sins of past and be thankful that salvation and forgiveness is based not upon what we achieve, not upon our merit, but upon the finished work of Christ. Not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. And therefore, everyone should take with them the words of this text. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. What a fitting prayer, as the publican prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Not excusing himself, not defending himself. No plea but this, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And what a suitable prayer for all of us on this Thursday of the communion. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to thank thee for the revelation of thy goodness, the loving kindness of the Lord, that thou art ready to be gracious, thou dost delight in mercy. What encouragement we have to go to thee for mercy, that we would trust in thee for pardon, and that we would rely upon thy beloved Son and his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, for that is the only way that our sins can be forgiven. Without shedding of blood is no remission. But his blood was shed, and we pray thee that his blood would be sprinkled upon our souls, and that we might be cleansed and washed and made clean in thy sight. Receive us into thy care. Help us in all remaining duties, all the duties of the communion season, and strengthen thy servant to travel and to come and preach to us tonight, and pardon and accept us, we pray thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.